Welcome back to the Trilateral Troika. This is Steve, along with the other Steve.
I voted for the other guy.
And Ryan.
I had the Fruit Snacks Gushers, like, just now before we started, and I gotta tell you, huge fucking disappointment, because I remember these things as childhood as something I would have traded my, like, left hand for.
Bro.
Now, disappointing.
You need
mid-tier.
To...
Mid-tier.
Listen, I know Reddit's got a lot of problems, right? It's got a lot of issues, but there is a subreddit called Shrinkflation, and I highly recommend everybody, including our 3.5 listeners. I say a half because there's got to be at least one, like, you know, small person.
There's one bot.
Yeah, there's one bot. Yeah. Oh, but there's just like a fireflies.ai is following us. Like, I'm still at work here. It's just Teams. But yeah, great Reddit, keeping up with that shit. It's fucking ridiculous how like egregious it is. And like, here's my thing, and I'll keep this brief, okay? That's my goal tonight, is to keep my rants brief. So all we gotta do to fix shrinkflation is stop fucking buying shit. Like, that's it. If everybody stops buying Lay's potato chips because it's 60% oxygen in the bag, okay, they're going to fucking put more chips in the bag or go out of business.
Yeah, but
you can't convince fucking people to, like, pick dinner, you know? Like, it's ridiculous how fucking stupid people are. Nah, dude, most of the things that are shrinkflated, though, it's an option. Gushers? Just fucking refuse to buy them until they fix it. You know,
I'm just saying, I was so disappointed when I tried one. I was like, this is definitely not, no.
Bro, if your cable bill goes up, how do you get the company to lower it down? What are you going to do?
I call them and tell them I'm switching providers, and then they give me the starting rate again.
They don't do shit anymore. They used to do that like 15 years ago.
Oh, they still do.
Bro, I work in the industry. They do not do that anymore.
Dude, I'm telling you, I still pay $80 a month for my cable, and it's just internet, but it's top tier internet from Cox. And every time I try to raise it, I just call them and I'm like, hey, connect me to like customer retention or whatever. And they connect me to some guy who will be like, okay, fine, fuck it. We'll just give you another deal. And it's been $80 since I moved into this house 2.5 years ago.
Here's the deal. I will concede that you can probably call and try to barter for a lower rate. But let me adjust my example to like Netflix.
Oh yeah, no, you're not bargaining with Netflix.
But that's my point. Like, the only thing that's going to get anything done anymore is collective action. But you can't get people together on the same page about even like normal topics, like whether a majority of the country just elected a pedophile, sex abusing criminal. You know, like, we can't even get on the same page about that. You know.
But I mean, speaking of an annoying pedophile, sex abusing criminal.
Well, yeah, we're going to talk about Aleister Crowley, right?
The devil himself.
It's kind of what he was, you know? You can argue with me, but...
No, boys, today we're finishing up our discussion of demons.
Yeah, exactly.
This time,
so that's kind of Aleister Crowley, right?
No, actually, we're going to be talking about Hillary Clinton today, the OG demon. Beelzebub.
I literally, that's another sore point for me, so don't fucking get me started, all right? These fucking Neanderthal bullshit artists, they go around saying, oh, the Clintons have killed 35 people. No, they fucking haven't. Show me the bodies.
It's 37.
You stupid motherfuckers. There's zero bodies. You could literally, with that logic, you could say anybody is a mass murderer. Like, you could just be like, yeah, you know, Glenn Beck murdered and raped children in the 90s, you know? Like, do you remember that shit? Because Glenn Beck used to make shit up all the time. But that's my point, is like, there's nothing to it. Like, it's just conspiratorial nonsense. Yeah, it became such a meme that it's like one of the first things out of people's mouth when you mention the Clintons. And I'm like, listen, they're not great people, but they ain't got any bodies on them. And if they did, if they had that many bodies on them, I feel like we'd have a much more evidence that there was that many bodies on them. The only one you can even probably link to him is what, Seth Rich? And like, that's been kind of disproved and debunked about 1,000 times.
Yeah.
Again, I don't have any problem with Hillary Clinton other than she's a shitty fuckhead politician, you know? It's like her fucking husband, who's just an awful person, you know?
I like that they point out like that she's a monster for killing, like, allegedly killing like 35 people, but she's not a monster.
Up, by the way.
She, she's well, whatever amount, but she's not a monster for like spearheading like the intervention in Libya, which led to like the deaths of like countless thousands and like the complete destruction of like the political order in like North Africa and created like an arms and refugee crisis that we're still facing today.
Yeah.
Bro. What?
Just saying.
Well, but they've killed 36 people. I'll give you a quote from my former, I don't study as much anymore, but my Taoist studies. He who steals a belt buckle is executed. He who steals a state is made a feudal lord.
I mean,
very true.
Fair. I'll give you that.
Well, you give Zhuangzi that.
I give Zhuangzi that.
I love
that.
It's better than the Tao Te Ching, in my opinion.
Why is it that when you kill a man in a fit of passion, you're considered a criminal? But when you kill a man in the heat of battle, you're considered a hero.
Exactly. Oh, man. I got one more thing to get off my chest. It's been sitting there for a long time, but like Paul Ryan, like in Rage Against the Machine, I've never gotten over that.
Bro, that still pisses me off to this day. That and his stupid fucking workout photos with the little back of the hat and shit. He's such a fucking
loser. He was the original fitness fucking influencer.
Jesus Christ, I hate him.
When you mentioned that was immediately the image that came to my mind was him sitting on that like on that bench with the weight.
Yeah, with the one barbell that's like a fucking 10-pound barbell in his hand. He's curling it with his big stupid grin like he's getting one
just
over
that
on somebody.
Peaked in high school grin, you know?
Oh my God.
I still love, my favorite fact about him is that how stupid he was that his plan for Social Security would have nationalized the stock market.
What? No.
So you know, for a while in like the early aughts,
he's not that dumb, right? Like he was speaker for the House of Representatives. Like he's not that dumb, right?
Well, you look at the current one.
So again, we had that conversation about before. Is he unintelligent? Probably not. Is he dumb? Yeah.
Yeah.
Because
there's a difference.
Because in the early aughts, there was this whole big plan that they've been trying to like get rid of Social Security, and their idea was, well, what if we privatize it? And they're like, why do we privatize it? And it's like, what if we just turn Social Security into like a 401k account for everyone? But there's so much money tied into Social Security that the amount of like stock investments they would have done would have completely like dominated the market to the point that the government effectively nationalized the stock market.
Well, I'll tell you what, Social Security, you can count your motherfucking days, Social Security, because yeah, you might not be here in a couple of years.
Nah, it'll still be there.
Yeah, okay.
Dude, this is all I gotta say about the incoming douchebag. I know it's not the same situation, okay? I'm not ignorant or naive. I understand that there is a threat, and that it's something that maybe you should be concerned about a little bit more than the last time. Maybe a lot a bit more. It depends on who you are as a person.
Do they not have all three chambers, or all two chambers, but like all three?
He had the same exact thing when he started last time. He had it for 2 years. He controlled both chambers, and he controlled the presidency.
And he's got it again right now.
And he had a conservative Supreme Court, conservative leaning Supreme Court.
So he's got it right now, right?
And explain to me what he got done.
Well, I'm saying he's got it right now, right?
He's got it right now, but we don't know about the House yet. The House is still up for debate.
It would be very interesting because I already see some parallels with him and Nixon. If he just goes full on, like, since he's like a lame duck, that he just goes full populist like Nixon, like he just wants people to love him. So he's just going to give like everybody free cable, like Nixon wanted to do.
Or, I literally
free HBO for everybody.
I literally had to delete Twitter, so I stopped looking into it because I was just doom scrolling too much. But like the people that he's elected for his cabinet are just, they're not qualified to be in this. They're not qualified to be acting members of government. Like they're just.
I can't wait for RFK to be DHS.
It's insane.
And Secretary,
all we can hope is that he's as ineffectual and muley and just like, you know, shittily narcissist as he was the first time, and that he lives for 4 years, because if I have to have a J.D. Vance presidency, I don't know if I can handle that, you know. I might have to just drink like Lysol, you know, at that point.
But
warning.
But I said the parallels, because if you look at who he just chose as the as his national security advisor for his own representative, Mike Waltz. Waltz is like a real hawk on Ukraine, and he said he was going to end the war in Ukraine, and I think he's going to go the Vietnam route of like of Nixon, where he's like, we're going to end the war by escalating the war to a point that they're going to come to the table.
Anyway, yeah,
we're just going to crank fucking heat up.
All we can do is worry about the president. You can be a good person today. You don't have to worry about any of this just yet. He's not in office yet. So we'll take it day
also,
by day.
Also, I saw something. Isn't Marco Rubio up for, like, Secretary of State?
Yeah, he's up for Secretary of State, which is hilarious because he has no backbone because Trump hates him.
And oh, then, my God.
You know, we did say we were going to talk about demons. So, you know, this is actually tracks.
This actually tracks, though. Yeah. We are talking about demons right now.
Yeah. I mean, it's just so bad. But anyway, let's move on to, like, less evil people. I mean, demons. Sorry.
Beelzebub.
So as we talked about in part one, demons, as like Christians understand them, don't really exist in the Old Testament.
You could have just stopped at exist.
Well, I mean, in terms of like the cosmology.
I'm just fucking around.
But that the Jews don't really have like a version of demons or the devil. That's all something that like Christians created later on. For instance, as we discussed, Satan exists, but Satan is like one of God's like angels.
Yep.
And a lot of these like so-called what we refer to as demons, which comes from the Greek word daimons, is related to when they were translating the Old Testament into Greek from Hebrew. They just put like deities of a foreign or gods of other nations and just sort of group together all these different classes of supernatural beings that they talk about and just reconcile them all as demons.
Right.
Yeah. Satan's not in the, Bible at all. It doesn't exist in the Bible.
What, Satan?
Yeah. We get a lot of Satan stuff from like Dante and like, Milton and like places like that. It's basically a lot of horse shit.
I thought Satan was specifically mentioned in the Bible and Revelation specifically.
No.
Because you're cast into the pit.
No, it's not.
They use a lot of language and they talk about like the Antichrist and stuff.
But the Antichrist was Nero, so.
Yes, but almost, but I mean in terms of like they don't
universally accepted that that's what the revelation was.
Yes, but I mean if you're going by the actual text itself, right. They're not really specific on details. They just talk about like the beast.
Yeah, the word Satan doesn't appear.
Like I was talking about before as well, these early Christians begin to sort of class these beings, these daimons, sort of at the same level as like angels.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of the Christian cosmology from early on, that angels serve the high God of the Israelites, who they refer to as Yahweh, and the Christians just refer to as God, and that the demons themselves. Sort of like in their original intent, they're supposed to represent, you know, deities or demigods or spirits that serve like foreign gods. And in this case, they end up eventually serving, you know, the devil. They're also found in the Septuagint, which refers to evil spirits as demons or daimon.
What's with the pronunciation of daimon? Is that a thing or is it just?
Oh, it's just the Greek word. It's D A I M O N.
Because the oldest translations of the Bible are in Greek, so
Okay.
And Septuagint's like the Greek Old Testament.
Yeah. Because a lot of the area around like where the Levant was, most of the people there who didn't speak like a local like Aramaic dialect, they usually spoke like a form of Greek.
Okay.
Which is why, like, the Eastern Roman Empire, or Byzantium, as it's sometimes called, in the Western world, is their language was Greek. Because that was sort of like the cultural center of the Roman Empire. Mm-hmm. And Greek was considered, like, the high language of, like, learning and was like the popular language, whereas Latin was more the language of the capital and of the Romans.
I misspoke, by the way. That Satan doesn't appear in the Old Testament. My apologies.
He does? Would you say he does or does not?
He does not, yeah.
Yeah. So I was saying that Satan appears, but like not the – like I didn't realize you were talking about the word Satan. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. It's
like that quote unquote fallen angel, you know,
boy, Dan McClellan,
the ruler of demons, all that does appear with direct references to this without specifically saying, like, that's kind of what they're talking about.
Yeah, my boy Dan McClellan's got a video on Satan. He kind of splits hairs a little bit, but he's, it's interesting. It basically just doesn't appear in the Hebrew Bible at all.
Within the New Testament, demons appear about 55 times. And there are 46 times that they appear in reference in relation to demonic possession or exorcisms.
Ooh, so Linda Blair's in the Bibles, are we saying?
Yeah.
when they do exorcisms, right, are they like the exorcisms that we traditionally think of when someone says, oh, we're going to do an exorcism, like with the whole, like I said, Linda Blair and like strapping them down and shit? Like, is that...
Well, they explain it in like the Bible, and it sort of works out like at the end of The Exorcist, except Jesus, you know, being smart, you know, being the Son of God, he just throws the legion into a bunch of like pigs and has them like run off a cliff instead of, you know, having them go into him and then just getting flung from a window down like a flight of stairs.
Right.
That's ballsy of them, just throwing them into cops like that.
A horse is a
pig that don't fly straight.
Well, conveniently, Steve, the Son of God, you know, he had his white powder on him and just told him it was fentanyl.
Sprinkle some crack on him. Let's get the fuck out of here.
Renders them powerless.
Touch fentanyl crap that's been debunked so many times. Ugh.
It's the same way as like those kung fu masters or whatever, who claim they can do like the chi manipulation or whatever, and just wave their arms and make people like collapse.
It's called amazing. It's called Fa Jing, and Fa Jing is not actually. Oh, you're gonna get me on a rant. So fucking.
Here we go.
Fa Jing is like not energy manipulation. It's kind of more along the lines of Qi Gong Nei Gong. So like Qi Gong is. I believe
you are making these words up.
No, they're real. So I did kung fu for like a decade. Nei Gong,
like energy work,
internal energy work. Yeah, Qi Gong and Nei Gong. And I forget the main difference between the two. So that's unfortunate. I shouldn't even bring it up if I can't remember that shit. But anyway, it's been a long time since I got out of that bullshit.
The
thing is like Fa Jing is like transferring your energy through like a punch or something. But they take it too far. Like, people take it too far, and they think there's some, like, mystical thing that you can shoot out of your fucking, fist, like Goku or some shit.
Are you talking about the shit where that guy was on the beach, and he had the chick, like, run at him, and she just trucked him like she was in fucking Madden, and he's like, my personal, like, quieting force field is going to protect me? Do you know what I'm talking about?
So there are people like that. There's some real horseshit books. I've read all of them, mostly. There's one called Opening the Dragon Gate, I think. No, that's just a Taoist source text. I can't remember now, but basically there's one that does talk about that. Like, if you meditate enough, it's all Taoist alchemy and all this other crap, like internal alchemy and all this bullshit. Like, like these people survive car accidents without getting scratches on them and stuff like that. And they have so much chi stored up in their dantian, which is like 2 or 3 inches below the navel, that like there's like a bump there, like a ball.
That's called a pee.
Yeah, like scientists don't know what it is. It's like, no, I think that's called a tumor. You know, like...
Sir, go to a fucking urologist immediately.
Bro, I'm pretty sure you have a hernia. What the fuck is wrong with you? Listen, I told you guys before, I give 1-2% to all that shit. Like, I give them 1-2% potential. It's possible. It's always possible. But
it's highly unlikely.
It's 98% unlikely, which is, if you know how bad we are at percentages and chance, then you know that 98% means 100% is not real. You know?
It ain't happening. Sorry.
Yeah. It's fucking, man, I love that shit, but I wish it was real, but, you know, it's not.
So one thing that happens as well is that in a lot of older English Bible translations, such as like the original like King James Version, they do not have the word demon in it. They translate it as devil.
Okay.
You know, which means that they're lawful evil as opposed to chaotic evil. That's the difference there. So as adversaries of Jesus, these demons go from being like sort of like servants, like not good servants of God. They go to be just being plain evil and the causes of misery, suffering, and death. And that they don't really like tempt people as much, but they cause pain, suffering, and other other sorts of sickness and illness, such as physical and mental illness.
I found the book. It's called The Magus of Java, and I read it in 2005, according to Amazon. Which, wow, I want to crawl up in a ball right now and cry how old I am. But yeah. It was about this guy who like went overseas and trained with this supposed like you know Taoist master, and it's such fucking horse shit. Like it's just you're reading it and you're like, yeah, what if that was real? You know, it's like no, dude, no. But it is interesting to read. He's one of these fucking dudes like that they disprove on all the fucking Qigong documentaries I've seen where like they go and disprove these masters and then like the village like beats the documentary team out of the village. Like, get out of here. Just get the fuck out of here. You're ruining our thing, you know?
Just take a broom to him.
Yeah, broom. Yeah, exactly.
In this sort of Christian cosmology, it is not demons who act as tempters. It is only the devil that acts as a tempter.
Okay.
And also unlike in sort of like pagan belief systems, demons pagan themselves. Again. Pagan?
Yeah, you got that Philly thing going. Pagan.
demons are not, intermediary, spirits. Who must be sacrificed for the appeasement of a deity.
Right.
There's also no positive angles to possession, whereas in some pagan sort of belief systems, spirit possession can actually be like a beneficial thing.
Yeah.
I mean, for sure.
No positives to possession is exactly what someone who was possessed would say, you know?
They are also explicitly under the direction of the devil, and while their origin is unclear, the texts, though, are all based on the fact that demons do exist, although they're not sure on their origin.
Bro, who the fuck is saying this?
Just, like, Christian scholars.
Okay, yeah. Researchers on Lord of the Rings.
Yeah. Many of the early Christian authors, such as Irenaeus, Justin Martyr, Clement of Alexandria, and Lactantius, assume that demons were the ghosts of the Nephilim, sort of in the way that some Jewish scholars
did.
Because of the references of Satan as the Lord of the Demons and evil angels of Satan throughout the New Testament, other scholars identified fallen angels with demons. Demons as entirely evil entities who were born of evil may not fit the proposed origin that evil is within free will. That's also taught in some alternate or opposing theologies. Because you have to remember, there's some schools of Christianity even today where they're just sort of like if you're good, you're like good not because of your own choosing. Uh-huh. It's through the providence of like God that you're evil or whatever. Right. Where there are some that state that like, oh, it's a choice to be evil.
Yeah.
Because there's always that like Paradise Lost sort of thing.
John Milton.
Where Milton just decided like, oh yes, they decided they wanted to rebel or they wanted to be, you know, that they would rather rule hell.
In hell than serve in heaven or whatever.
Yeah. so that stuff's all like the later like fan work.
It's a later fan fiction.
Yeah.
The, you know, it always strikes me, again, like, when you dig deep down into, like, the demon shit, especially the Christian, like, framework around it, the Joseph Campbell quote, you know, he's got his problems, with especially with a lot of his academia when he's, like, older. But that people confuse the denotation with the connotation of metaphor, you know? And that most demons, sin, all that stuff is essentially metaphorical. It's not meant to be taken literally. If you take it literally, you completely fucking miss the point. You take it literally, you buy 1,000 crystals from the mall, and you put crosses all over your house, and you have, like, the weird Jewish thing nailed up on the wall with the little scroll from the fucking thing inside of it. And you do weird shit, you know, because you're taking it literally. But it's not meant to be taken literally. It's meant to say, like, it's a metaphor. Like, if you let that thing in, if you worship that thing, then that thing takes over. Well, yeah, of course. People have vice that turns into quote-unquote demons, right? It makes so much more sense that way. But they just fucking miss the point, you know? No, there's real demons, dude, and we're going to go fight them, you know? It's fucking like, shut the fuck up. This stuff really gets on my nerves. I apologize.
Like, and demons also get sort of roped into biblical interpretation. For instance, in Exodus 12:21-29, the story of Passover, it says that the Lord struck down all the firstborn in Egypt. But in the apocryphal Book of Jubilees, which I mentioned before, that most of the early Christian scholars are familiar with, and sort of used as a, like, generally considered to be like a soft canon Christian source. Right. You know, it wasn't G canon. I think it wasn't Star Wars, which was like George Lucas canon. It was like accepted expanded universe canon. That
the best
canon. Within the Book of Jubilees, it said all the powers of Mestema, who is a demon, have been let loose to slay all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, and the powers of the Lord did everything according to the Lord commanded them, which is from Jubilees 49:2-4. In Genesis, for instance, in the flood narrative, it's explained that this was done as God was noticing how corrupt the earth had become, for all the people on earth had corrupted their ways, Genesis 6:12. In Jubilees, the sins of man are attributed to, quote-unquote, the unclean demons who began to lead astray the children of the sons of Noah and to make to err and destroy them, Jubilees 10:1. In Jubilees as well, Mestema questions the loyalty of Abraham and tells God to bid him offer him as a burnt offering on the altar, and thou wilt see if he will do this command, Jubilees 17:16. All these discrepancies in the story in Jubilees and the story in Genesis revolve around the presence of this demon, Mestema.
What's crazy is that for years, I didn't know Jubilee was Asian, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I had no idea. And then I only realized it when they did the remake. Isn't that weird? I feel like the original version of Jubilee from the 90s X-Men was not Asian-coded, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it was more like, you know, because it just, you still had shithead producers at the time.
Yeah.
I just feel like something happened there. It just didn't feel Asian to me.
Mm.
When I was a kid, I don't know. I've looked this up before, and I'm not the only one. So that made me feel a lot less racist.
So for instance, in the original version of the story of Genesis, God is testing the will of Abraham to determine whether he is a true follower or not. But in Jubilees, Mestema has an agenda behind promoting the sacrifice of Abraham's son. Which would be, quote-unquote, an even more demonic act than that of Satan in Job. In Jubilees as well, Mestema is an angel tasked with tempting mortals into sin and iniquity, requests that God give him a tenth of the spirit.
You mean iniquity? Children.
Yeah, iniquity.
Okay, I was just making sure.
That he should give a tenth of the spirits of the children of the Watchers, demons, in order to aid the process. These demons are then passed into Mestema's authority, where once again an angel is in charge of demonic spirits. The Testament of Solomon, which was written sometime in the first 3 centuries AD.
Hell yeah.
The demon Asmodeus explains that he is the son of an angel and a human mother. Another demon describes himself as having died in the quote-unquote massacre in the Age of Giants. Beelzebul, the prince of demons, appears as a fallen angel, not as a demon, but makes people worship demons as their gods.
Okay.
Okay.
So since early Christianity, demonology has developed from a simple acceptance of demons to a complex study that has grown from the original ideas taken from the Jewish demonology and Christian scriptures.
I just think that the most plausible explanation at this point is that we need to go backwards and look back to like how we began all this demonology talk and when it happened. And if you do that, there's no rational reason to believe any of it, you know? Like, am I wrong?
Yeah.
Am I wrong?
No.
But I think it's also, you know, like, the majority of people who actually believe that won't... It's not a path they'll go down.
No, of course they won't.
Because it's purely a vibes-based thing.
It's a vibes thing. Demons are just a vibes-based thing. You gotta vibe with them, you know? And if you don't... You're just not going to be vibing, you know?
What's the argument that Matt Chrisman has made from Chapo, Trap House, about how, like, all the arch-conservative Supreme Court justices...
We need him back,
Steve. He's always with us in our hearts.
Yeah.
But the argument he made was that they're all Catholics, and it's because Protestants are incapable of doing, like, the academic work to become that level of, like, a judge. Because Catholicism is the only, like, form of, like, Christianity, really, where they go, like, hard in the paint with, like, academics.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, if you're, like, a true believing, like, Catholic, like, you're going to have to read some books, you're going to go into some sources, you're probably going to, like, learn Latin. Like, the average, like, evangelical true believer that's, like, that level of conservative...
They're fine with just the King James version of everything.
Well, yeah, they're too busy trying to, like, work the Bible into an MLM in order to, like, buy their second car wash.
So like, 2002, bro. Like, I was just telling my wife about this. But like, 2002, this friend came up to me and was talking to me about... we were on IRC, and he's talking to me about... By the way, I knew he was Christian at the time, just so you know. And he starts talking about the Bible codes. And I'm like, what Bible codes? And he's like, yeah. He's like, so if you take the Bible and you run it through this, like, algorithm, you can generate these prophecies. And I'm like, bro, do you know how many Bibles there are? Do you know how many times it's been translated? Do you know what the oldest Bible is? Which one are you using? Like, oh, the King James. Okay, well, then you're wrong. Like... It's a transliteration of a transliteration of a translation of a translation of a translation. How the fuck could it possibly be the source text for prophecy based on algorithms? Like, it doesn't make any fucking sense, you know? But they did it because they sold books. That's why. It's just like fucking UFOs again, you know? It's fucking mostly horseshit, but if you're good at it, you could make a lot of money on Amazon.com, you know? Fucking silly.
We're going to lose so many
listeners from my fucking bitching.
Early Christians going on, building from the very few references there are to these daimons in the New Testament, especially within the prose of the Book of Revelation, which originally, in its original form, is poetic. That doesn't really get translated well into English because they try to go, I think, for a more literal translation as opposed to like one that sort of like tries to make it lyrical.
Right.
So it's kind of lost on people. Christian writers of biblical apocrypha from the 2nd century onwards created this more complicated system of beliefs around demons that was largely independent of any actual Christian scripture.
Okay.
Wait. Say that again.
That they're sort of like creating their own cosmology. They're taking the few references.
Who is?
Early Christian writers.
Oh, okay. That is exactly what I believe. 100%.
I mean, of course they're going to try to make it up because, A, they have no fundamental basis for what they're writing about except for fairy tales and just kind of like campfire stories.
Let's not go down the road, though. Let's make it even simpler, bro. Let's just go down the Dave Chappelle route, right? Okay. We'll talk pre-douchebag.
I'm going to say, let's be very specific with which Dave Chappelle.
We're talking about Dave Chappelle, king of comedy, Dave Chappelle, like older Dave Chappelle. And he said life is flimsy and you got to get something out of it, right? It's flimsy. There's not a lot to it, right?
Right.
That's how it is. It's how it's always been. And so that shit sells because it's interesting, you know? Nobody wants to just think that it's like, oh, just get up in the morning, do your thing, go to bed. They want something interesting, you know? That's all it is.
That's it.
It's something you can sell to people who are otherwise like, you know, especially I think given the time, like early Christian writers, most people were fucking sick. They lived till 30 and then they fucking died of ass rot. You know, they're fucking lucky if they pumped out as many kids as they could just in case, you know, they needed to be taken care of. Somebody had to change the wooden bandages on their ass rot.
They were playing the numbers game. Hey, listen, most of my kids are going to die. Maybe if I have like 7 kids, 2 of them will live.
Well, the earliest Christians were actually like really weird, which is another reason why the Romans didn't like them.
Whoa, you can't be tossing that word around, bro. Cost us an election.
Because like, for instance, like a number of them believe that like the rapture was imminent, which, you know, a lot of Christians believe that now. But to the point that like,
That's not even mentioned in the Bible,
but
go ahead.
But to the point that they would be like celibate because they believed like they had to abstain from everything because like the rapture was going to happen any day now.
Imagine also living that miserable of a fucking life, much like the Puritans when they came over here. That miserable. No sex, no nothing cool, no fun, just work until you die.
And there were also things like there were like homosexual marriages. Mm-hmm. But the marriages that happened, they were chaste, like they were never consummated or anything like that, because like it was like this weird idea of like you can't do anything version of Christianity, sort of like some of the later like cults of like the 19th century, like the Shakers,
and the Movers,
yeah.
I think we brought him up before. I know. He comes up at, by the way, now as a potential friend on Facebook, and I don't understand that at all, because I had a fucking teacher in high school who was so weird about shit that he didn't even have a TV at home.
What?
Yeah, this is like 98, dude. He doesn't have a TV. Like, excuse me? Like, that's where you get most of your information. You don't have to watch it, but you're so weak that, like, you have to keep this thing out of your life because you believe that it's like a gateway to sin.
Yeah, no,
you more or less offered that up in a social studies class too, and I was like, you're stupid, dude.
You're a loser.
You're an idiot. You know? I'm like, and it's always the weakest fucking people too. They can't change the channel. You know? They just can't. But anyway.
So while diamonds were considered as potentially benevolent or origin, anti-Christian scholar argued against, Origen, who was a Christian scholar, argued against Celsus, an anti-Christian scholar, that daimons were exclusively evil entities, supporting the later idea of evil demons.
Okay.
Origen of Alexandria was a scholar that lived around 185 AD to 253 AD, and he was also known as Origen Adamantius, and he was like one of the very like OG big name Christian scholars. He was an aesthetic and a theologian who was obviously by his name spent a lot of his first half of his career in Alexandria. He wrote around 2,000 treatises in multiple branches of theology, including textual criticism, biblical exegesis, and hermeneutics, homiletics, and spirituality.
I love exegesis. It's great.
I don't know. I thought their second album was kind of weak. And like I mentioned, he was one of like the most influential and controversial figures in early Christianity. He was also been described as quote unquote the greatest genius the early church ever produced. Celsus, though, was a second century Greek philosopher and opponent of Christianity.
I like this guy already.
He wrote a work called The True Word.
Yeah,
Celsus. Also called The Account, Doctrine, or Discourse. And this document, though, we don't have like a full version of it. We only have quotations from it in the Contra Celsum, which is a refutation written in 248 by Origen.
Okay.
Because Celsus lived around like...
I've read about this before. That, like, we don't have his original work. We just have what Origen argued against about it, basically.
And he lived about probably around like a little under a century before Origen, which is very common with like a lot of works from like the Roman period. Mm-hmm. Is that most of it is lost?
Yeah, that's one of the coolest things about Meditations, Marcus Aurelius. Like, just the idea that that book survived. It's a fascinating topic, you know, because mm-hmm. a lot of stuff is really just particulate, you know, like we just have like little pieces of things.
Yes. Yeah. Some things wouldn't get saved. Some things wouldn't really like due to like cultural reasons, just wouldn't be carried on. For instance, like the poetry of like Sappho,
mm-hmm.
like her poetry is pretty much lost, which I think I've mentioned before.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. but not for any particular reason other than that she spoke like a dialect of Greek that ceased to exist after a period.
Shit was too sapphic.
Yeah, and then these goddamn lesbians.
Sappho's a lesbos.
we've yet to find the Subaru buried out there with a copy of it in the trunk. But
in the fucking Nevada desert.
But it mainly just to the fact that like most people couldn't really appreciate it, so it wasn't really being copied as much, so we don't have as many copies of it,
you know.
A lot of people could, if you were a person of means, you probably could read during this time period, as opposed to like you know, the Middle Ages when we get into sort of like Christian Europe.
Mm-hmm.
Literacy wasn't really as gone upon because you don't really have the restrictions of the Catholic Church where pretty much all you can read the scripture.
Yeah.
And you documented can only do it
in the new anime Orb, which is great, yes. By the way. Fantastic. Ryan, even you'd like it.
Really?
It's fantastic. It would piss you off. It is a fantastic.
My blood pressure is high enough already. I don't need to.
Oh, dude, you'd be throwing your Xbox controller through the screen, bro. You'd be so mad.
I'm just waiting.
I'm not an Xbox fanboy. PS5, come on, get it right.
Well, you're not going to break the system you use. You just go to Goodwill and get an Xbox controller. You know, TVs, those are cheap. They're a dime a dozen.
Just get your Mad Cats controller and just like chuck across the room.
Mad Cats. Oh man, this thing has six extra buttons. They're not supported by the Nintendo operating system, but okay.
You just flip that turbo switch and you just go to town.
Look at him, he keeps kicking.
Genuine question, did the turbo switch do anything?
Yes.
Yeah, it essentially made it so it was just constantly pressing down like one of the buttons, I believe.
Yeah, that's all it does. It just repeats the input.
Yeah.
Are you talking about on the PC or a controller?
On controllers. So basically, if I turn a fucking turbo, if I click the turbo on and I hit like X, it'll just keep hitting X?
Yeah, so you would, exactly. yeah, so you would, that's all it was, really. I mean, I have it on, it's on my fight stick, actually, and before you enter a tournament, you actually have to show the judges that your turbos are not turned on.
Interesting.
Because they can actually be used to, you know, repeat inputs and make it unfair. Because, like, I don't know if you know this, but, like, in a fighting game, it's really strategic. Like, a lot of the moves, they have They have frame data associated with them, and so some moves are faster than others, and then some moves have a delay, which is called like, I forget the name for it, but it's like a block delay. So like if I punch you with a certain punch, then there's a certain amount of frames that I can't block, and if you use a move that's fast enough, you can hit me before I can block and start a combo. So if you have turbo turned on, the chance of you getting that move off goes up because you can slam the input, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's really fucking ridiculous.
So as mentioned, the true word is like one of the earliest known comprehensive criticisms of Christianity.
And it's lost.
The scholar, well, yeah, of course, the Catholic Church isn't going to work to like preserve, or probably the Orthodox Church as well, preserve this like book that's like Christianity, the religion of suckers.
I'm a big fan of the theory that they have all that shit stacked away somewhere.
They probably do.
Of course they did. Because a lot of Catholic priests and monks and those people, they were extremely scholarly. And if they could get away with like preserving knowledge, of course they would.
The scholar Honegraaff has argued that it was written shortly after the death.
What was his name?
Honegraaff.
Honegraaff, okay.
He has argued that it was written shortly after the death of Justin Martyr, who was possibly the first Christian apologist, and was probably a response to his work. Because again, we don't have the full thing, so we don't know exactly, you know, who his diss track was directed at. Origen stated that Celsius was from the first half of the 2nd century AD, although the majority of scholars have come to the general consensus that Celsius probably wrote it around AD 170 to AD 180.
What, 170 AD?
Yeah.
Okay.
So this is around... like I mentioned, like a decade... Or probably around like 50 to 100 years before, or 50 to like 80 years before Origen probably wrote his. Because Origen was born in 185.
Yeah.
So this is something that was written before he was even born.
Gotcha.
According to Origen's cosmology, increasing corruption, evil within the soul, causes one to become more estranged from God.
Okay.
Because remember, originally, or I should say currently, within, like, Jewish theology, like, sort of, like, the equivalent of, like, hell and punishment in Judaism for being, like, I guess evil, for lack of a better term, is that you're drawn away from
your
God.
Personal relationship with God, yeah. Yeah, the veil thins. Or the veil then, thickens.
Origen claim that the most evil demons, therefore, are located underground.
Questionable, but go ahead.
They're down there, and it's convenient. It's convenient. You know why? Because digging tools are expensive in Origen's time. So you're not going to find them, but they're down there.
Hey, Georgie!
So Origen said that the demon, you know, he came from space in a meteorite that hit into the earth around the town of Derry, Maine, and that he's mostly in conflict with a turtle from space.
Dude, you were supposed to wait till the end to give that away.
I think this is part of like mentioning like orb, where in orb they do a breakdown of sort of like the Catholic like cosmology of like before like the heliocentric model is accepted. That because like everything revolves around the Earth, that the Earth is actually the lowest place in the universe. And so that's sort of like I guess why Origen is saying, not knowing like his complete thesis, but I'm guessing that's why he claimed that they were probably underground, because if God is above us, then below us is probably the farthest you can be from God.
That's brilliant, actually.
Logic.
So, aside from talking about these fallen angels from Scripture, Origen also talks about Greek demons, like nature spirits and giants. These creatures were thought by the Greeks to inhabit the wild places in the world, as well as the air, and be nourished from pagan sacrifices while they roam the earth.
Giants we're talking about, correct?
Yeah, like, for instance, like, you know, like the Cyclops and stuff.
Right. I mean, isn't that like a widely believed thing? And I can't think of what the... Because they have there's a name for giant. Nephilim? No.
Yeah, Nephilim are giants.
Well, but the Nephilim aren't like Greek, like, giants. They're the biblical giants. And then again, we don't know if they were exactly like big guys or if they meant they were big in power. Like, it's not really descriptive in that regard.
I thought he was a giant. A Greek giant is my buddy Zorba over at Zorba's Greek Kitchen.
I swear to God, I thought you were going to say Stabby, but go ahead.
He's delicious. No, Stabby's kind of like a Greek asshole. You know what I mean? Like I love Stabby, but he's not a giant. You know, let's be honest.
But what Origins states in his thesis is that there's no functional difference between the spirits of the underworld and of the earth, since both of them have fallen. From the perfection into the material world.
Yeah. What's his source text? Where do you get that?
Well, you know, it was on Archive of Our Own. Origen, therefore, because they are not within the heavens, he sums them up as being fallen angels and thus equal to demons. many aesthetics like Origen and Anthony the Great describe demons as psychological powers tempting to evil, in contrast to benevolent angels advising people to be good.
Yep.
The angel on one shoulder and the devil on the other, so to speak.
Yeah, I'm okay with that as an explanation. That's, again, that sounds more like connotation.
According to The Life of Anthony, written in Greek around 360 by Athanasius of Alexandria, most of the time demons were expressed as an internal struggle, such as involving inclinations and temptations.
So basically, my desire to jerk off is demonic. Gotcha.
but within the life of it...
That's exactly, that is like literally what they're saying.
They're saying that my desire to touch myself is demonically induced. Gotcha. So it's not my fault. You hear that, Sister Wolf, Ryan?
That the feeling of needing to do it is the demon. And that when you enter into that relationship, that it can go south. And they're right. But not because of an ethereal force. Because again, it's a fucking metaphor. Like you could jerk off too much, you know? Like, that's basically what the nun is saying.
But within the life of Anthony, after Anthony successfully resisted the demons mentally and internally, they would appear in human form and tempt and threaten him in even more intensity.
Oh, no.
Yeah. I think he just, you know, he was going through some stuff, and then he got hassled by a bunch of guys, like, panhandling. Yeah, they just get really aggressive.
There were demons back there!
There was a demon, and he had a dog. He claimed to be a veteran. I believe in the war against God.
Oh, my fucking God.
Speaking of people with stolen valor, when are they going to just get Rob Gronkowski for those commercials, you know?
Which ones?
The ones for Navy Federal, where like he's like... trying to get the bank account constantly.
I haven't seen these commercials. Is he like dressing up in like Navy or in, well,
bro,
military stuff?
There's like one where like he's just constantly trying to like sidle himself into getting a Navy Federal account without serving. And the joke is that like all the people on the show get it because all the other people in the commercial, they get it because they served in the military, right? And that's all, that's the only people who can get it are people who are in the military and their direct family members can get it.
Right.
But that's it. So, like, the joke is that, like, he's, like, trying to get in without serving, more or less. Like, we just call it the Stolen Valor Power Hour every time it comes on. It's like, what is he doing? There's one with Sam Elliott right now. They pulled Sam Elliott's fucking still ticking corpse out of a box of shoes and that he had passed out in, and you know, put him in there, and he's just like, he's like trying to force himself to live at Sam Elliott's house so that he can be his roommate and get into Navy Federal.
And oh my, like, god,
bro, where are the conservatives who are supposed to be pissed about this stuff? That's stolen valor on Gronk.
Yeah, those people don't exist. Hypocrisy is alive and well.
You said it.
The early Christian scholar Pseudo Dionysius, the Ario Pagite.
Bro, imagine if you said that was your name, you know? You just told people that, you know?
He described evil as defiancy, and does not give evil an ontological existence. He explained that demons are deficient creatures who willingly turn themselves towards the unreal and non-existence. Their dangerous nature, though, results not from the power of their nature, but from their tendency to drag others into the void and the unreal away from God. So again, we're going back to this Jewish concept of being like one from God, and in this sense, more like going away from sort of like the material world and arguably to the oblivion of like entropy.
I'm sorry, the oblivion of what?
Entropy.
Right. What is that?
It's like, it's just like the concept of like decay.
Yeah, the
gradual. Into like non-existence.
The gradual breaking down of all things.
Okay.
By the way, that's a scientific thing. Like, that's not a, like, there's a, well, study of it. It's not,
well, yeah,
it's, not, it's not just accepted as like a, like a concept, it's a real thing in nature.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. All things are breaking down over time. That's like why we have like decay in elements and they have half-life.
Which a friend of mine who's a scientist like told me that's not really what entropy is. So yeah, if you want to go look up entropy, it is more than that. But like, yeah, at the core, the best way to sum it up is just
that's basically
all,
what it is.
Yeah, the okay. best way to sum it up is all things are breaking down at all times. They're just constantly breaking down.
So at what point after creation does something start to break down?
I would argue almost immediately.
Because as humans, that wouldn't be correct. You don't start to break down immediately. You haven't even grown yet.
Yeah, like, but your cells divide constantly, and then I think it's like 27 when you're when you reach the age where your cells stop. There's like a change in the way the body replicates.
Fuck, 27. We're all three of us.
28 or so, yeah. Telomere length starts shortening, and like things go that way. There's something like that. It's something in your 20s where like the cellular aging changes, and you're actually like on the downhill slope. That's why you start feeling old, like right around 30, because like at least, again, this is all my anecdotal like understanding. I could be way off, but I'm pretty sure I'm like somewhat correct, if not accurate, you know. No, we're all fucked, dude. I mean, we're all dying, dude. Memento mori. I mean, you're dying. Like, there's nothing you could do about it. It's not something to worry about. Why would you worry about it? You can't do anything about it. You're going to die. There's nothing you can do about it. So there's literally, it's not worth having a fear over.
Yeah, so good luck.
Michael Sellos proposed the existence of several types of demons, deeply influenced by the material nature of the regions they dwell.
Now, this guy's got to be older, right? Because he's got two names.
Yeah, he only has the two, and it's not like a really like a place name.
Yeah, his name's not like Pseudocellulose or something, you know?
Because technically, like, for instance, Romans really only had one name, and then they just get names stacked on. Because, like, Caesar isn't really like a family name originally.
Caesar's a title, yeah.
Yeah, it's a title. And it was essentially like most Romans had like mafia names. Because yeah, like Caesar, surprising. Like yeah. Caesar meant like hairy, I think, and it was a joke on him being bald.
Wow. If there's several types of demons that are based on like where they dwell, what demon is the one for bottles of Jameson?
I'll check my book.
Probably a Chthonia.
Probably
an area. We'll get into that. The highest and most powerful demons, though.
Papa, you ever heard of Papa Ligma? No, Papa Legma or Legba. Sorry, like Papa Legba. Who's the other guy too? Baron Samedi.
There's Samedi. Absolutely no way I'm going to answer that one now.
Baron Samedi. Oh, yeah, the voodoo dudes. The voodoo hoodoo, what you don't dance to, people. That's a good song. The Hacker soundtrack was the best part of the movie.
As within Solos's sort of worldview, the highest and most powerful demons attack the mind of people using their quote unquote imaginative action to produce illusions in the mind. Mm-hmm. The lowest demons, though, on the other hand, are almost mindless, gross and grunting spirits, which try to possess people instinctively, simply attracted by the warmth and life of humans.
Okay.
These demons cause diseases, fatal accidents, and animalistic behavior in their victims. They are unable to speak, while the lower types of demons might give out false oracles. The demons are divided into... Leilioria, the highest demons who inhabit the ether beyond the moon. Aria, demons of the air below the moon. Chthonia, inhabiting the land. Hyrea or Analia, dwelling in the water. Bipoctobonia, those that live beneath the earth.
Would you just call me?
You fucking heard him, bitch.
And Misophase, the lowest type of demon.
Me so tired.
Blind and almost senseless in the lowest hell.
And then the Whiskeyuria, the whiskey demon.
He would claim that the invocation of saints, holy men and women, especially ascetics, reading the gospel, holy oil or water could drive them out. Huh. However, his schemes have been inconsistent to answer questions about the hierarchy of fallen angels. The devil's position is impossible to assign in this scheme. It does not respond to living perceptions of felt experience and was considered rather impractical to have a lasting effect or impact on Christian demonology.
Right, because isn't technically the devil, like... the top, it doesn't matter. He doesn't fit in these categories because he's like that dude. He's like the guy. You know what I mean?
Wait, if you're a demon and you're dangerous, then who's the devil? He is that dude.
He's that guy.
Well, it sort of goes down to, because remember, these are demons that are not including like fallen angels.
Okay.
And then so they're just sort of like, where do we put the fallen angels? Where's the devil in all this? And they're like, above it. What do you mean above it? You just said that they go beyond the moon. It's like, no, it's just this question and answer session is over. You can see the merch table outside. I will be signing books.
Feel free to jump through the gift shop where I have books on this.
It's t-shirts, 100% cotton, wash them on cold, air dry them, and they'll shrink.
I will be signing Leaves of Papyrus. So the contemporary Roman Catholic Church, they teach that angels and demons are real beings rather than just symbolic devices.
Yep, missed the fucking point.
And that the Catholic Church as well has a cadre of officially sanctioned exorcists, which perform many exorcisms each year.
A cadre is a group of like-minded douchebags.
The exorcists of the Catholic Church teach that demons attack humans continually, but that afflicted persons can be effectively healed and protected either by the formal rite of exorcism, authorized to be performed only by bishops and those they designate, or by prayers of deliverance, which any Christian can offer for themselves or others.
So, I have a dumb question.
Steve, okay. I don't want to alarm you guys. Sorry, some breaking news here, but Magic the Gathering has joined Blue Sky, so...
Excellent.
That's awesome.
It's an immediate follow. So, stupid question. Did these bishops really believe this bullshit?
I mean, I don't think we can know that.
Yeah, it's I'm just gonna say I don't think you joined the Catholic Church in like 2024 for the glitz and glamour.
What, okay, now if I'm one of these dudes, it's like, man, I want to go fight demons, bro. I'm gonna go talk to the bishop. Is it like a game? Is it like, I know that this is fucking full of shit. He knows it's full of shit, but I gotta fucking play along like it's not full of shit. Like, is it kind of like one of those things?
Well, it could be real, you know. It could be like Malachi Martin, just like a complete psycho.
I think they legit. That some people are devout, and I think they legitimately believe that it's there.
Because there was a Catholic priest that would call into Coast Coast AM all the time, who would go on about exorcisms, and then I later found out that he's like part of like a crazy, like ultra conservative, like essentially cult within like the Catholic Church.
Yeah,
like
the Opus Dei.
No, it's not Opus Dei. It's like even crazier than that. Like
what?
He believes that. I think it was the. I forget what pope it was, but there's this belief that some other cardinal was supposed to become pope, and it's like this whole like conspiracy about the
anti-pope thing.
Well, that he was supposed to be pope, but they were threatened by quote unquote like worldly forces, like essentially like the Soviets or someone said they were going to nuke the Vatican or something if they chose him or like the new world order.
I'm more worried about the Soviet boats that are hanging around internet cables right now.
But
bro. Ugh. Imagine but if one of those fucking goddamn subs cuts a fucking internet line by accident.
Well, they've been like kind of like loitering around Ireland and another country.
They need to fuck off.
Yeah.
But the cardinal in question, though, like he was still alive when this conspiracy theory was going on, and he repeatedly said, like, no, that's not what happened. Like, I was never in consideration to be Pope. Like, please stop this.
Please stop lying to my congregation.
At various times in Christian history, attempts have been made to classify demons according to various proposed hierarchies, like the one that I described before. In recent times, scholars have doubted that independent demons exist, and rather consider them akin to the Jewish Satan, to be servants of God.
The Jewish Satan. Not to be confused with Satan from Marvel Comics.
It would be Mephisto.
There's a Satan.
Yeah, there is, but usually like
Mephisto. Mephisto is the best.
He's usually the one running around doing things. He's like
Lucifer is really the best, though. But that's DC.
According to the scholar S.N. Cho, God is shown sending a demon against Saul in 1 Saul 16 and 18 in order to punish him for the failure to follow God's instructions, showing God as having power to use demons for his own purposes, putting the demon under his divine authority.
Just to correct myself. That'd be cool if he gets a little
demon zombie that like follows his commands.
Yeah. Just to correct myself, Lucifer is in Marvel. As well.
Well, yeah, he's the son of, he's the father of Hellstrom.
You are correct, yes.
Yes. So he kind of shows up in that regard, but he's not really, like, they're not booing him out for the big crossovers.
Nah.
But in the one crossover event where Captain America got turned into, like, Hydra Cap, Mephisto took over, like, Las Vegas. And they had to, like, all the magical heroes had to go clean it up afterwards. according to the Britannica Concise Encyclopedia, demons, despite being typically associated with evil, are often shown to be under divine control and not acting of their own devices. So again, in a lot of ways,
I knew it. I knew that son of a bitch was behind it all.
You were right again, babe.
That it's sort of swinging back to that original like Jewish conception,
right?
But yeah, like people like because most like crazy evangelicals, they just use like people quote unquote like demons and devils working. It's like they voted for Kamala Harris, obviously the work of devils,
right?
And like Alex Jones constantly goes on about how like he's physically attacked by devils, and that they're like all over the place, and like he'll be somewhere and then some demon possessed person will attack him. Oh my God. It's like a thing he like commonly brings up all the time.
That's
Oh, is that like Tucker Carlson? Tucker Carlson just had an interview where he told someone that he wrestled with an actual demon.
Oh yeah,
and he was 100% serious.
And it was in an Orthodox propaganda film. And Alex Jones actually has been leaking it. Like he's been trying to say why I counseled him on it, and I told him he said he was at someone's house, and that before he left, they're like, "Can we say a prayer for you?" And they took him into a room with a throne in it. And he asked him, "Did you feel any sexual energy when they were doing this to you?" It's like, "Yep, that happens all the time. These Satanists, they'll do that to people."
Jeez, unreal.
Yeah, Alex Jones has been going more and more to that as well because Trump won, so he has no avenue because he gets really lost. So he just goes really back on his that he's an actual prophet thing, which is something he says all the time. He says that God comes to him and gives him visions of the future and other prophetic visions.
Imagine being that fucking delusional. Just hold it together, exactly right. Can you imagine that? If you think about it, your younger you was delusional about things that you learn later, And I think delusional people are the people who just don't learn. They know they're wrong.
Yeah, no, but they'll never admit it, though.
Right, but yeah. I think it usually happens during a period of their life. Either it's an age thing or a mental health thing, where, mm-hmm. or it could also be a learning disability thing, where they anchor so much to the thing that they first decided on or heard on or found out about a topic, and they're just fucked. Jones is just a grifter. He has no choice but to do this. He's just playing a character, and I refuse to believe it's anything other than that. The man is in debt up to his multiple generations of wealth,
Yeah.
And he deserves every bit of what's happening to him, just like Rudy Giuliani, but we'll see what happens there. But still, I think he's just a character. He doesn't legitimately believe he's a prophet or some shit like that. It's just about Who? Making money and selling fucking Rudy? Supplements.
Rudy?
Nah, Alex Jones. Rudy's just in massive debt. That fucking judge, they made him give up everything.
Rudy's just fucked.
His polyester, his
he fucking deserves polyester it too, man. Ties. I fucking ruined the mafia,
That thing of ours. Well, boys, that is, in summation, most of the stuff about demons without going into, Ed and Lorraine Warren.
Ed and Lorraine! Yeah. But we talked about them already, so go back, look at old episodes. I have no idea what number they are, but we definitely talked about them.
The Ed and Lorraine Warren episode?
Yeah.
That was a long time ago now, bro.
Yeah, bro, that was a minute ago.
Yeah, I don't even know. I'd have to search. That's how many fucking episodes we have. I have to fucking search. I don't even know if I can search. Can I search? Wait, let me see. The website.
Probably. Long story short, demons are real.
We can fit 5 episodes on a page, right?
Mm-hmm.
Here, and there's 28 pages for me to leaf through to find it.
Good luck with that.
So, yeah. Forget it.
Forget about it.
I forgot
we're on Amazon Music. It's probably easier to find on Spotify, too.
Yeah, we're on Amazon Music now.
Uh-oh. Yeah. Find us where you get all your podcasts.
Yeah. Or don't. Whatever you want to do.
Yeah, I'm not your boss.
All right. And with that, good night.
Good night.
Don't let the demon bite.
Bye.